I want to talk to you today about ethics. In fact, this will be part two of a teaching that I gave here not too long ago on ethics, but this is part two of ethics, and it really is dealing with making the right choice, making the right decisions. How many have ever made a decision that you wish you had a do-over? Come on. I don't have enough hands and fingers to say if I had a do-over on some of the decisions that I've made. But we're here today to talk about that. And God is so faithful. As born-again Christians, God is so faithful to help us. And that's my prayer. It's been prayer and been preparing this. And I pray that it will touch your heart as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask in your precious name of Jesus, God, you would open our understanding today and let us hear your heart regarding choices we make, regarding how we make decisions, how we arrive at the decisions that we make. Father God, we ask for this. We ask for great insight and understanding. Help us in our minds to focus on what you would have to share with us right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Ethics part two. Not too long ago, we did a teaching on integrity, and then we followed it up with ethics. Integrity is simply the willingness and commitment to do what's right, and ethics is just following right behavior. So as Christians, we have an opportunity for our born-again nature to take over, and inside, in our hearts, we have the willingness to do what's right. But sometimes the willingness to do what's right doesn't necessarily mean that we make the right choices. So for the most part, ethics in itself is neutral. Ethics, you can have good ethics or you can have bad ethics. But to really kind of break it down, the way I consider ethics, the way I look at ethics, is simply, am I at the right place doing the things that I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it? And then some. Am I doing what God has called me to do, where I'm supposed to be doing it? Am I willing to do it with all of my heart, and then some? To me, that's ethics. That's acting in some way, in some form of ethical behavior. But ethics is an outward act of what we have going on inside. So what I want to just basically share with you is that we're dealing with the inward man. And we're dealing with our outward decisions. And so in order to break down this discussion on ethics, what I want to walk you through is a little bit of the law of reaping and sowing. The law of consequence. The law of cause and effect. That when we do sow, we will reap. And so I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. And this is a well-known scripture that talks about, it starts off with saying God is not mocked, but I want you to turn there. And while you're turning there, it's Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 7. Who we are on the inside will eventually become apparent to those on the outside. Let me say that again. You can only hide from you for so long. Because whatever is happening in here will eventually come out. For out of the heart speak the issues of life. Whatever is in a man flows out of the man is what Jesus said. So whatever, what we're talking about today is, and I want to really help you get at this today, that we can make the right choices if we understand the impact of the choices we make. And so I want to get to a place where before a decision's made, I pause and say, God, am I making the right decision? Am I making the right choice? And that's what we want to talk about. And so what I want to do is try to bring home the scripture out of Galatians 6, 7. What we're reading here, what should be on the screen, is out of the New Living Translation. And it says, don't be misled. It means don't be deceived, some of your translations. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So other translations just simply say, and they say it more concisely, that just says, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. So what it's introducing is you can sow to your flesh, the old nature that you have, or you can sow to the Spirit. Both of them will have consequences. Both of them will have a cause and effect. And so what happens is that when the Scripture says that God is not mocked, what that basically means is that you can't take the things of God and hold them in contempt. That's what the word mock means. And so you say, well, what does the word contempt mean? Contempt simply means that you're willing to take something that is supposed to be important and consider it non-important. It's the willingness or ability to take something that is of paramount and simply set it aside. To say it another way, you consider it to be worthless or not worthy of your consideration. That's what contempt means. So when the Scripture says that God is not mocked, or the justice of God is not mocked, it means that am I willing as a human being to take that which God says is important and set it aside? Am I willing to say that that is not worthy of my consideration? And so when Paul begins to write here about don't be deceived, don't be misled, that every action has a reaction. If you make a decision to sow and take steps and move into our carnal nature, our unregenerate nature, there will be an effect of that. There will be a cause and effect. However, if you take steps to then make the right choices into your born-again nature and through what the Bible has declared to be truth, then there's also results of that. So it's looking at both cause and effect. Because if you ignore the things of God, what eventually happens when you think it's not worthy of consideration, that's how arrogance sets in. Arrogance is the byproduct of when somebody says, I don't consider that what God is saying to be important. And God knows, look in the world around us. What are the results just walking out on 51st Street? And you see what's happening around us. We've been bombarded in the news lately. We've been bombarded with all of these events that keep happening and keep happening and keep happening as a result of somebody is making different choices than we should make according to the Word of God. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to say whatever is written in this Word is important. Whatever this word says that I should be doing, I need to consider that as worthy of consideration, not beneath consideration. I don't want to be arrogant. I want to be mindful of the things of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. You want to be mindful of the things of God so that when you take steps and say, God, I need help to do the right thing, the Holy Spirit is right there with you to help you make the right decision. I believe that there's some in here today that are on the cusp of making a decision, and it could go either way. You're in the right place at the right time, listening to the right message, and God is going to encourage you to make the right decision, and as a result of that, your life will forever be changed because we serve a supernatural God who answers prayer and is faithful to the cry of your heart. Amen. God is so faithful to that. Praise God. The decision to follow right conduct is even more enhanced when we consider the impact of the decision. God knows if I could go back and look at some of the decisions that I've made, I know I would change them. Because the impact, the result of that decision and what it had, whether it be on myself personally, whether it be my family, whether it be my children, whether it be my job, whether it be my relationship with the church, decisions that I've made and that I alone made, I have to live with the consequences. And those are decisions that I've made both good and bad. I've made good decisions. And as a result, God has been faithful and followed through on the things that he said he would do. I've also made bad decisions. And I think all of us can safely say that we're in that boat. The law of reaping and sowing, of cause and effect, or the law of consequence, is as real as the law of gravity and the law of light. And I want you to hear this. The law of reaping and sowing, how you go about making a decision and the results of that decision, are as real as gravity. Do you believe in gravity? If I were to run out here and jump off this stage into the front row, and they say, God forbid he should do that. If I do that, I am going to go down. I'm not going to fly. The law of gravity says whatever goes up is going to come down. That is a law that God put into effect, and that is that the believers are bound to it, non-believers are bound to it, even atheists have to abide by the law of gravity. It is a law that God put into effect. Do you believe in the law of gravity? Do you believe it's real? Do you believe in the law of light? The law of light simply says, and Pastor Will kind of alluded to it this morning, that when sin entered, man all of a sudden is hiding in the shadows. So darkness in itself is not, it is only the absence of light. So when God said, let there be light, what happened to darkness? Gone. There are no windows in this sanctuary. There's doors back here. But if we were to turn off all the lights in this room, it would be pretty dark. But if all of a sudden light came on, if somebody hit the switch and the lights came back on, what happens to darkness? It goes. That is a law of God. So darkness, and say, well, there's night and then there's day. I've gotten into some of these debates before. I said, well, night is only because the absence of light. It's just simply the earth spinning on its axis, and it goes around the other side. So when it's hidden from the sun, there's darkness. But when it comes back around and sun comes back into view, darkness goes. It is the law of light. Reaping and sowing is just as real as the law of light and the law of gravity. There is a cause and effect. There is a reaction to decisions that we make. If you would, go to Genesis, the second chapter. And it talks about the power of a decision that man made. Now, I want to clarify this, because many of you have read this scripture before, and it's when God commanded Adam and to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We always talk about the fall of man, and therefore sin entered mankind, and so we're all born into sin. We are not in need of a Savior because of what Adam did. We are in need of a Savior because of what I did. But because of my nature, I'm born into this nature, I have a propensity to want to follow my own way. I have a propensity to want to sin. So I'm not guilty before God because of what Adam did. I am guilty in need of a Savior because of what Jerry Hampton did. And so everybody in the house of God, you need a Savior because of who you are before the Lord, not because of somebody else. So part of the law of reaping and sowing is helping us understand that we take accountability for our actions. So when God simply told Adam, he said, and the Lord commanded, notice that the Bible says he commanded. God didn't walk up to Adam and say, can I suggest something to you? Let me see, what's your opinion, Adam? If I ask you this, what do you think we should do? God commanded Adam. He said, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. You will surely die. And in that day that that happens, you will die. Now, that's not talking about a physical death. As we know, Adam and Eve, they went on, they had children, and then they had grandchildren, and mankind was populating all throughout. But what happened is that in here was the cause and effect. God said, if you do this, this will happen. There is a direct reaction to a decision that you make today. So it wasn't asking his opinion. It wasn't saying, I suggest you do the following. He commanded him. And if Adam chose to believe, there would have been an entirely different result. Do you believe that? But Adam chose to believe what he did. He chose the steps that he took. And therefore, he got the action that he took. He got the results of the decision that he made. It's simply cause and effect. When you speak into somebody's life, there is a reaction. When you speak into a child's life today, there is a reaction from what you speak into their life. It could last far beyond anything that you could have imagined. So a step that you take today is going to have a bigger effect. Say it another way. Every step we take or every decision we make, the consequences of it are amplified. It's like the going sideways, the signal on your phone that says you got strong Wi-Fi goes like this. Put that sideways and every decision you make may start here, but it comes out this way. It fans out and has a broad impact, far greater than you could ever imagine. Decisions you make today, how you speak into somebody's life, how you act, whether it's at church, how you act on the job, how you act with somebody, how you act with your family. It is the cause and effect. And what it does is it not only impacts today, but it impacts a lifetime. It's much bigger than you think. Consider a basic apple. You know how many seeds are in an apple? I did this by studying, so I know. There's about 10 seeds inside a single apple. So a seed generates about an apple that has 10 seeds. So those 10 seeds can be planted, and that generates another apple, and that has 10 seeds in it. So it's exponential. It just begins to take on the law of exponent. Remember your exponents in school, right? 1 to the 10th power, 2 to the 10th power, 10 to the 10th power. And so it just keeps multiplying. So something of little today has a big impact long term. And so what we speak has a big, big impact. The decision that Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden affected all of mankind. It affected us to the point to where we step back and say, because of my nature, because of my willingness to disobey God, because of my willingness to stay in the shadows, as Pastor Will said this morning, because of my ability to do that and my sometimes desire to do that and not step into the light, his decision made that had a long-term impact that has affected all of mankind throughout history. But Jesus came. And through one man's act, changed history forevermore as well. So there is a direct result of if you make the right choice, good things happen. If you make the bad choice, and I'm not trying to oversimplify this, but I am trying to drive home a point. The decision that Adam made, and the reason why I'm kind of staying on this a little bit is because I want to make sure that you understand that when it comes time for you to make a decision and for you to pray over this message, that God will have a way to speak into you and say, no, not so fast. Don't do that yet. Don't make that decision. Let's consider this. Let's debate the issue, as the Lord would say. The decision in the garden created this wall. And what it means is when man died, it's like taking a cloth that's together. It has all the individual threads that's put together. Call it maybe a basic handkerchief. And you've got all these threads that are weaved together to make this one seamless, what looks like a piece of cloth. But when you tear that, have you ever seen, you know, like if you have a fray in your shirt and you go ahead and tear it, what it looks like? It's not like a scissor cut. It's not a razor cut. It's a tearing. It's a ripping. And you also know what that sounds like. So when Adam made his decision to not consider that what God said was important, or it was beneath his consideration, he directly disobeyed it, there was this ripping. There was a tearing that took place. And that was the separation between God and man. It was this awful ripping noise that took place. And all of a sudden, this wall comes up that separated God and man. And so that decision lasted how many generations and how many generations all the way through history, that one decision. So when I look at this, I say, God, help me to make the right decision. Help me to make the right choice. And let me see the choice that I make today, how that impacts somebody's life. How can that decision I make impact my marriage? How could it impact the relationship with my children? How could it impact my grandchildren? How could it impact my relationship with the church and being here at Times Square Church? How does it impact my community? How does it impact my relationships? How does it impact my eternal life, my walk with you? How does it impact my thought process? How does it impact my habit pattern? How does it impact all the things that are made up and called Jerry Hampton? What impact does that have? And so that has really been the cry of my heart, is that you understand that every decision has a reaction. Everything and the way you look at it has a reaction. If you would, go to... we were in Galatians a while ago, the 6th chapter. Just go back to the 5th chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter. And I want this to stay up on the overhead for a minute, because I want you to get a good picture. This is what the Bible says are the acts or deeds of the flesh. These are what is called vices. These become vices because of a decision that we've made. In many cases, it's a decision that we made that we're not yet a born-again Christian. We haven't walked with God. And so you're subject to your nature. And these are the things that just happen as a result of our nature. This is what is a result of an unregenerated life. If no decision is made for God, this is what happens. We become sexually immoral. We become impure. Results in idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, fits of rage. We're seeing that play out all over the world right now, folks. Fits of rage, selfish ambition. Because of somebody else's agenda, they're making decisions that are impacting a lot of people. Dissensions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Those who practice such things, which I call bad ethics, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Even to Christians, if we will not walk away from these things, you will continue to walk in this torn apart relationship where you constantly have this separation between you and God. And what God wants to do is say, I don't want you to feel the guilt and the condemnation of your action. I want you to step into the light, come out of the shadow, and recognize that I am here to help you and save you. And I will give you a regenerated heart. And so what happens is to understand the decision that we make can continue to create these kind of vices in our life. And those become role models for our children. It becomes models for our community. It becomes models for who we go to school with and who we fellowship with. If these are present in our life, it has impact. Are you hearing me? But thank God that Jesus came. Jesus came and reversed death. His death on the cross reversed this tearing effect. It actually put it back together and is called to be born again. He said that I would come to make all things new. I know how to put this back together. I'll create something in you that's never been created before. I'll cover you. I'll make because of his decision, praise God. Because of the decision that Jesus Christ made, now what happens is that we all of a sudden now go to the next passage of Scripture, which is in the 22nd and 23rd verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the virtues of living with God and living for God and making right choices, this is what happens. It comes love and joy and peace, patience. How many want patience? Oh, I want it yesterday. I want patience. I want to learn patience, folks. Kindness. You want to be kind to one another? Speak kind words to one another. You want to have goodness in your heart, goodness in your life, not dissension or factions or rage. You want to be faithful? Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So when you become a born-again Christian and you're walking as a child of God, this is the automatic byproduct. This is what happens. This is cause and effect. If you walk in your unregenerated life, you will have what we just saw about. The things that just say, God, how do I get away from that? How do I stop that in my life? How do I change course? But if you make the right choice and let Jesus cover you, this is what automatically happens. This is the fruit. So we're talking about the law of reaping and sowing. This is the fruit that comes as a result of this decision. This is what happens to be manifest in your life. These are all attributes by which God himself lives. These are the attributes of God. God is love. God is joy. God is goodness. He is long-suffering. He is faithful. He's gentle. He has self-control. These are all things that describe God. I want that. Do you want that? You want to walk this way because in that there's peace. There is such peace from the presence of God. And just like the law of light says, darkness comes when there's no light. When there's the presence of God, peace comes. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of God. Praise God. We will have conflict. You walk out here, you see conflict. We as Christians, just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're not going to have conflict. Conflict will be there. But the presence of God brings peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Folks, we are his harvest. When we're talking about ethics and making right choices, God himself made the choice to be a sacrifice for us. The decision that he made, the law of reaping and sowing is in effect. We are his harvest. You are the harvest of God. You are the reason he came. You are what he sees all through eternity. I see goodness. I see love. I see mercy. I see gentleness. I see peace. That's what he sees in your life. He sees the decision that he made at the foundation of the world to become a sacrifice for you, knowing that one day when you would say yes, this would begin to happen in your life. And praise God, the virtues that begin to develop as a result of this. These virtues of living for God creates ethical values. It creates the values by which you look at and say, that's how I want to walk. So let me just walk you through a couple of these. When God shows up and the fruit of the Spirit is there, the harvest, his harvest in you, will now create what I call honor. It's just the sense, the strong sense of duty and pursuing good deeds. And what I want to do is I just want to list several of the real ethical values that come as a result of walking with God. This is the byproduct of your life. And think about a few characters in the Bible along the way. You could write this down or go back and listen to it. But when I think about honor, I think about Nehemiah and his willingness to go back in and rebuild that which was broken. He had a sense of honor, a strong sense of duty. So take a look at Nehemiah. Trustworthiness, honest and reliable. These come as a result of walking with God. How many want to be trustworthy? I know sometimes, you know, if you've ever been a Boy Scout, it's almost like the Scout's Pledge. It almost sounds like this, but to be trustworthy, honest and reliable. I think about Daniel, the prophet. I think about how he was willing to be honest, and he was reliable in the way he approached the king and the way he responded, even at the peril of his own life. But Daniel was reliable. Honest. I remember years ago in the corporate world, I had a kind of a mantra that I would live by, and I would tell all the folks who work for me, I'd say, I will never get rid of somebody for making a mistake, but I will if you lie or steal. If you lie or cover up or bring about deception. But if you make a mistake, that's not worthy of termination as far as I'm concerned. Let's correct the mistake. Let's train somebody. Let's make sure they get the right tools to do their job. But when somebody is lying or being dishonest, that is now a totally different conversation. Remember one guy that was submitting his travel and expense report, and I had just been transferred up to New York, and I was from this big city down in Texas, and he was still there in this area. And so he would submit his mileage, and I would sign off on the travel and expense reports, and I'm looking at this mileage, and he said, from office to wherever this other, where he was traveling to. And I said, well, I know that route. I live there. It was kind of a double as to what it was. And then it was, I said, well, maybe you just put the mileage down for a round trip. No, it was, he did the mileage going and the mileage coming back. And this went on for months. So I asked him to bring back the several months of the travel and expense report. And every trip was a double of what it normally was. And I just simply did the calculation of what the mileage was. And it was equal to the lease payment on his car. So I go, well, that's interesting. And I had a conversation with the individual. I said, you know, when we first started working together, I told you that any mistake you make or anything that happens is we can work it out. But when you absolutely start lying and stealing, that's worthy of termination. So the justice was that I had to follow through on my word, but it was the right choice. So when I look at this and I think about the consequences that happen as a result of that man, he was a good man. I think he just was, and he made a lot of money. But he just found a way that he got a little bit more out of the company, and it was equal to his car payment. So I'm not trying to suggest anybody here is cheating on their mileage today, okay? I'm not saying that. But be careful how you treat everything. Be careful how you look at everything. So to be trustworthy, to be honest and reliable. Integrity is consistent behavior to a set of values. I think about Joseph, one of our patriarchs, and he was consistent all the way through to a set of values that he held dear, even while being accused, even while in prison, even the way he dealt with his family when God put honor on him and he had an opportunity to take care of his family. So Joseph was consistent all the way through. Loyalty. You want to be loyal? You want to be loyal to protecting and promoting the interests of God? I think about the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talk about loyal. Loyal to the point where they say, we will not bow down to that which we know is wrong. To the point we're willing to give our life for it. I have never yet had to make a decision where a decision I made today might cost me my life tonight. I've not been to that point. But I read that story and I say, oh God, if it ever comes to that, I want the spirit of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want the conviction. I want the ability to protect and promote the interests of God. Because if this is true and I walk away from it, it's still true. Are you hearing me? Just because I walk away from it doesn't mean this is no longer valid or no longer true. I made a choice to consider it no longer valid. I am now subject to my own law of reaping and sowing. Are you hearing me? Praise God. God is so faithful to us, folks. And responsibility, making decisions and be held accountable. These are the things that your life becomes when you walk with God. It's a byproduct of the fruits of the Spirit. These things happen. And the making decisions and be accountable, I can't help but think of Esther. Queen Esther was willing to make a decision and go back in and ask the king for help. She was willing to put her life on the line. And so all of these things, all of these virtues now, that happen, these ethical values that take place in our life, help us to make even better decisions. It will help us to make some of the great decisions, and Jesus himself demonstrated every one of these values. Are you hearing me? If you look back on these, Jesus Christ lived every one of these. He was full of honor. He was trustworthy. He had integrity. He was loyal. He was responsible to the point, and he was accountable, was he not? He was obedient even to the point of death for you and I. He was willing to give everything he had so that we could say, I want to walk with love and joy and peace. I want the things of God. I want the attributes of God. I want the values of God. Because when that value system begins to take root and even be encouraged and you water it even more, I mean, even better decisions come as a result of it. Quicker decisions come as a result of, is this right or wrong? Is this in line with the Word of God? Am I treating my fellow man fairly? Am I twisting something? Am I being deceptive? Am I saying something I shouldn't be saying about somebody? Am I acting in a way that I shouldn't be acting? Or am I acting the way that I should be acting? Am I really acting that way? I know in my heart whether I'm acting right or wrong, and so do you. And so the ability to walk this way is that God is saying, I will help you. I will bless you. I will give you everything you need for life and godliness. In fact, when I was really, years ago, when I was looking at some of these, and I was looking at, if I looked at it, I said, God, this is a model employee. I want somebody who has honor, trustworthy, has integrity, loyalty, responsible. That sounds like somebody that you really want to work for you, or somebody you want to be as to your employer. Amen? So we're in the middle of a merge, and we're looking at buying another company, and I knew that a decision had made that when this company was, that part of the company was put together, that I would be over the joint version. So we had made the announcement, and we brought everybody into New York, actually. I was living up here now, and we brought everybody in, and it was kind of a rush deal. We were making the announcement, and we went to a gathering, and it was a lot of people, probably 300 people at this gathering. And the person that was supposed to have the name tags dropped the ball. So we all showed up into this big room, and nobody had a name tag on. So people are trying to introduce themselves, like putting blue coats and red coats together, and you've got people that are looking at one another like, oh, are they going to have my job, or am I going to have their job? And so I'm walking around, and I'm late, because I just got through with the basic press announcement, and I come in, and we're trying to meet some of the folks. Well, they didn't know me. And so it's an interesting thing when somebody's talking about you and they don't know you. And I had just been that morning praying and said, Lord, when this occurs, help me identify people that are trustworthy and have honor and integrity. Those are who I want to work with. And I want to be that way to them. So I'm standing there and there's lots of noise going around, and meet this one guy, and he said, boy, are you from this side or that side? And there was so much noise. And I said, well, actually, I used to work for the company that we just bought. And so I think he thought I said that I work for your company. I work for your side. And he said, boy, we just heard that there's this real bozo that we're going to be working for. And I'm going, oh, this is going to be really interesting. This is really going to be interesting. And they said, have you met the guy? I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, we're brought into New York all of a sudden, and we don't know whether we're going to have jobs or not, but we hear this guy is even a kind of a religious fanatic. And I'm sitting there just listening. God, that's really interesting. He said, yeah, but in fact, he said, I'm concerned about this, so I've called ahead to make an appointment. And I'm going, he made an appointment with me? Now, I haven't told him who I was yet. And I'm thinking, well, maybe my assistant made an appointment, you know, that was quick, everything's happening, and we're trying to put these two things together. And so before I could, the planner of the event comes up, taps me on the shoulder, said, it's time to make an announcement. So I said, if you'll excuse me, I walk up out of the crowd, get up on a platform, come and stand behind a podium, and the look on his face was priceless. I mean, it was absolutely jaw-dropping. And I said, I understand I'm supposed to meet with some of you tomorrow, and some of you actually made an appointment to get on the calendar, and I looked right at him. God was answering our prayer that maybe that individual didn't have integrity, didn't have maybe, I wouldn't say ethics, because I didn't know him that well, but clearly if he's willing to make those kind of statements, I thought, well, I probably wouldn't want to be associated. So needless to say, he did not become part of the new team going forward. But the interesting thing about it was how God answered my prayer. I said, God, show me. I want to know. I want to know. And I want to be right with people that I work with. I want to have honor. I want to walk as a Christian. I want to walk with the values that you've given me as a born-again believer. If these virtues are in my life, then let it translate into the values that people see and they watch. That was my honest prayer that day. And boy, that night when that happened, I was just like, God, you are so faithful. Ethics is about personal choice. Your ethics is about your personal choice. And I'm going to close with this. Doing what's right and good and avoiding what's wrong. Coming out of the shadows. It's coming out of the question mark. And say, Lord, I understand the law of light. That when I step into the light, darkness has to go. I understand that when I jump off and I come into your arms, I'm going to land safely. I'm not going into the mosh pit. When I jump, and even though gravity takes hold, you're there to hold me, and you're going to keep me. Galatians 6:9, and I'll simply close with this. This is right after the scripture that we were reading. Let me read this to you. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest. The scripture that we just read was talking about reaping and sowing. It was talking about the value of a decision. It was talking about the value of good decisions and the consequences of a bad decision. If you sow to your flesh, these are the things that you're going to reap, which is death and destruction. But if you sow into the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. You reap the things that we're just talking about. So it's like Joshua put before the people, Moses put before the people, I set before you this day. Choose how you will make choose today whom you will follow. And so the question that I want to ask is that do you want to make the right choice? And I know that there are so many of you in the house today that God is saying, don't be weary in doing well. You're doing good. You're making the right choices. But sometimes it just seems, God, I know I'm making the right choices, but why is it so tough? Why is it so difficult? That's the group I want to encourage today. So I'd like to make an altar call. For those that are right there, just say, I don't want to make the wrong decision. I want to keep doing right, and I don't want to grow weary in doing good. I want to encourage you that at the proper time, you will reap a harvest, and the impact of the decision you make today and how you make your decisions will have this long-term shout effect all the way through. All the way through, it's going to happen on your job. It's going to happen in your finances, in your family, in your health, in your relationships. It'll happen all the way through. Do you believe that? Would you stand on your feet, please? Praise God. You're saying, I don't want to grow weary. But some of you are fatigued. Some of you have been making the right decisions and you've just gotten weary. You've gotten tired. You say, God, I need to see a breakthrough. I want to pray for you. I think we all want to pray. If you will, as the musicians play over just the next 2 minutes, you just need a refreshing touch from God. Will you come? Will you come forward? We're just going to pray that God will encourage you not to grow weary in doing good. Amen? Think about it. Think about it. You just need a touch from God. You're at a point of decision. You're at a point of, Lord, if I make this decision, what happens? If I choose this way, what happens? What are the results of this, both good or bad? We're not trying to talk about either one of those right now. We're talking about you need a touch from God. You need a specific touch from the Holy Spirit that He can say, I have you. I have you. Amen? Would you come? Let the presence of God sweep over your heart and mind. Praise God, you've come for just a touch from the Lord, that God will relieve you of the burden, and you're free to make the right choice. God will just completely shut off all the out influences right now and speak into your heart that you will make the right choice. Amen? Oh, Jesus. Some of you even need to make a choice to repent of something. Some of you need to just say, God, I need a touch of encouragement to keep going, to keep doing right, to keep doing the right. I am doing the right things. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Help me, God. Touch me. Give me just a new strength. Let your joy be new strength to me. Father God, right now, just lift your arms up before the Lord. Just surrender to God right now. It's just an act of surrender. It's a symbol of saying, God, I need you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, just call out on God in your heart. And those of you who have come, you need a touch from the Lord. Holy Spirit, right now, in the name of Jesus, sweep over my brothers and sisters. Sweep over them, God. Sweep over them. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, let a divine touch from heaven relieve them, God. Surround them right now, Lord, with your counsel, with the counsel of the Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to them, that you'll speak goodness and kindness into their heart to help make the right decision, to help to encourage them to keep making the right decision, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, Father God, we ask for this special sensitive touch of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, there's something very special going on right now. There is such a presence of God in this sanctuary. Those of you who couldn't come forward for some reason, God is touching you even right where you are. Thank God right now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, touch, touch, restore right now. Restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Restore right now the goodness and mercy of God. Restore right now your salvation. Restore the joy of your salvation. Restore strength and hope and courage for the future. Restore right now, Lord Jesus. Right now, Heavenly Father, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Vessels of honor in Jesus' name. Vessels of trustworthiness. Vessels of integrity. Vessels of honesty and reliability. Vessels that simply say, God, I want to do it your way. From this day forward, in the name of Jesus, let that be your prayer. God, do it right now. This day forward, I choose this day whom I will serve. I choose to make the right choice. I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to do what is written in the Word of God. I choose to call out on Jesus. Call out on Him. He said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's cause and effect. You call, He saves. You call, He solves. You call, He covers, He forgives. And the mercies of God are yours.